Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Sister Parthenia, who used to lead that. Amen. Amen. As we stand, James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Somebody read that for me, please. In James chapter 3 and verse 2. Someone read that. James 3 and 2. And then finally, James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6.
In your members. You lust and you have not. You kill and desire to have. You and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not. And my Bible just rolled up on its own. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it on your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture said in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy?
All right, thank you, readers. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this preaching privilege, and God, we pray that you would speak a word into the hearts and minds of your people. We thank you. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to school y'all for just, I almost said a few moments. This is going to be a little longer than normal. normal, but I want to take us to school this morning as we talk about how to determine spiritual maturity. How to determine, amen, spiritual maturity. Thank you, ushers. You may be seated. There's a difference between getting older and growing up. I said there is a difference between getting older and growing up. All of us know people who've had birthdays, but they have not had much development. They have added years, but they have not added wisdom. They have lived a long time, but they have not learned much. They have been through storms, but the storm did not soften them. They have been through trouble, but the trouble did not teach them. They have been around the church, but they have not always become more like Christ. And y'all, that is a sobering thing, because the aim of the Christian life is not just to attend church. The aim of the Christian life is not just to know hymns, quote scriptures, serve on boards, hold positions, or have our name on the roll. The aim of the Christian life is to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God does not save us to leave us where he found us. God does not bring us out of darkness just so we can keep acting like we're still blind. God does not wash us in the blood of his son just so we can keep wearing the same old attitudes, the same old habits, the same old grudges, and the same old childish ways. God expects growth. He expects development. He expects maturity. There are some things that are cute when you are a child that become concerning when you are an adult. A baby can cry for everything, and we understand it. A child can fall out because they didn't get their way, and we may excuse it for a season. A child can speak without thinking, act without understanding, and behave without self-control. But after a while, there comes a time when childish behavior has to be corrected, because age ought to bring development. And y'all, the same thing is true spiritually. When we first come to Christ, there are some things we may not understand. There are some habits we may still struggle with. There are some responses that may still need the discipline of the Holy Spirit. But after years of walking with God, after years of hearing the word, after years of being corrected by grace and covered by mercy, there ought to be some evidence that we're growing up. Somebody ought to be able to say they don't react like they used to react. Do I have anybody here can say I don't react like I used to react? Amen. I don't talk the way I used to talk. I don't stir up what I used to stir up. I don't fall apart the way I used to fall apart. They have been with Jesus and it shows. Is there anybody who's been with Jesus and you are a witness for yourself, amen, that things you used to do and the way you used to act, amen, God has allowed you to grow up. And in reading Paul's writings, which is most of the New Testament, you discover that Paul says it in a lot of different ways, but he pretty much says the same thing over and over again, not to the world, but to church folk. Paul says, grow up. That's what spiritual maturity really is. Now, if you don't understand me, don't misunderstand me. It's not perfection in the sense of never making a mistake. It is not sinless living as though we never stumble. Spiritual maturity is the evidence that God is developing us. It's the evidence that grace is working on us. It's the evidence that the Holy Spirit is shaping us into the likeness of Christ. The dictionary defines mature as being complete in natural growth or development, or being completed or perfected. And when James uses the word perfect, he's not talking about being flawless. He's talking about being mature. He's talking about being whole. He's talking about being developed. He's talking about a believer who is not half grown in faith, not childish in conduct, not easily moved by every irritation, temptation, offense, or inconvenience. Some of you may remember those Cheez-It commercials. You know those little Cheez-It crackers, amen? They used to have a commercial, and they would say that at Cheez-It, we expect a lot from our cheese. And then they would show you this scientist in a lab room with the cheese, amen, with this block of cheese, and they would inspect it to see if it was ready, amen. They would inspect it to see if it had matured. And if they noticed that the cheese was acting childish, if they noticed that the cheese was still playing games, that the cheese was still doing knock-knock jokes, putting signs on somebody's back, the inspector would mark the cheese not ready. But when the cheese had matured, when it was ready for use, the inspector would mark it ready. How many of you want to be ready? I want to be ready. I want to be ready. That's a simple commercial, but it carries a deep spiritual truth. God expects something from what he's developing. God expects his people to grow. God expects his children to mature. God expects those who have been touched by grace to become useful for his glory. Now, I know some of you will not remember the Cheez-It commercial, but some of us are old enough to remember the Paul Masson commercial. Y'all know that wine? Amen? Amen. Let's see if some of y'all remember it, because on the commercial, this very distinguished gentleman would say, "We will sell no wine before it's time." And I came to tell you, Pleasant Hill, God will not stop working on his children before their time. God knows what he's doing. He knows how long to keep us in process. He knows what pressure to allow. He knows what pruning to perform. He knows what lessons we still need to learn. The sad reality is that many times we miss the lesson. We think that that sickness is just an accident. We think it's just coincidental. Amen. But God is trying to prune some hate out of you. God is trying to get some nastiness out of your attitude. God is trying to shape your character and get you to be more like Jesus. And I need to be your pastor. I need to be, amen, pastor enough to tell you that if you don't learn the lesson the first time, y'all know we serve a God. The Bible says that it's better to get to heaven cut up and missing feet and missing legs than not to get there at all. And some of us, because of our foolishness, will not learn the lesson he's trying to teach us. Shame on you. After all you've been through, you still got an ugly attitude. Shame on you. God has had to whip your tail a time or two, and you still got the nerve to treat folk any and every kind of way. I don't know about you, but I pray that God will give me the wisdom to learn the lesson, that God will give me the wisdom to let him change my heart, change my walk, change my talk. How many of you want God to use you? The question before us today is not, how long have you been in church? The question is not how many scriptures you know. The question is not how many titles you carry. The question is not how many people think you are spiritual. The real question is, are you mature? Have you grown up? And if we want to determine spiritual maturity, we cannot measure ourselves by somebody else. Galatians 6 and 4 teaches us that every person ought to examine their own work. Comparing yourself to another Christian is a poor measurement. Because you may look better than Reverend Garner. You may look better than Deacon Smith. Amen. You may look better than somebody else and still not look much like Christ. You may be more moral than somebody else and still need to grow. You may be more faithful in attendance than somebody else and still need to grow. You may be more religious in appearance than somebody else and still need to grow. Because the standard is not the person sitting beside you. The standard is Jesus the Christ. Oh my, I wish I had two or three people up in Pleasant Hill who would say, well, Pastor, when you put it like that, I got to testify, I got a lot of growing to do. Am I by myself? When Jesus is the standard, we recognize there's room for improvement. And y'all, we cannot determine maturity merely by how long we've been saved. That alone doesn't create maturity. There are some people who've been saved for years, but they still need milk when they ought to be able to handle meat. Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, I couldn't even speak to you as to spiritual people. I had to talk to you as carnal. Amen. I had to talk to you like you were a babe. They had gifts, but they lacked growth. They had activity, but they lacked maturity. They had church life, but they were still full of envy, strife, and division. And if you're full of envy, strife, and division, baby, I don't care how cute you think you are, that is not God. That is nothing but the devil. Amen. Give God some praise in this place. So how do we determine spiritual maturity? James gives us the answer. James does not examine our shout first. He does not examine our title first. He does not examine our church resume first. James put maturity in the inspection room and he checks three areas of our lives. How do you handle trials? How do you handle your tongue? And how do you handle trouble in relationships? That's where James takes us. Number one, a mature believer endures trials patiently. James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That command in verse 2 may be one of the hardest commands in the New Testament. Count it all joy. I'm looking at Brother Banks this morning. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, James is not saying that trials are joyful in themselves. He's not saying that trouble feels good. He's not saying that grief is pleasant. He's not saying that sickness is enjoyable. He's not saying that disappointment is something we should pretend does not hurt. Because, y'all, some trials do hurt. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? Some trials will bring tears to your eyes. Do I have a witness? Some trials will keep you up all night. Do I have any witness? Some trials will make you sit on the side of the bed and wonder, Lord, how did I end up here? Do I have a witness? Some trials will make you smile in public and cry in private. James is not telling us to deny the pain. James is teaching us to discern the purpose. He says we can count it joy, not because the trial is good, But because God is good, we can count it joy. Not because trouble feels good, but because trouble is not wasted in the hands of God. We can count it joy because God knows how to use what hurts us to help us. Anybody thankful this morning? Amen. That what the devil meant for evil? Come on, where are my witnesses that God can take that thing that folk thought was going to hurt you? God can take that thing that folk thought would destroy you? God can take that thing that the devil meant to bring you down, and God will use your enemies as your footstool. He will elevate you. You'll come out on the other side of it better and brighter, smarter and wiser, with more joy, with more praise. Come on, somebody give him praise today. Trouble ain't wasted in God's hands. Oh my, oh my. God knows how to use what burdens us to build us. God knows how to use what shakes us to strengthen us. That's why James says, knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces patience. In other words, spiritual maturity is not developed in ideal conditions. It is developed in tested conditions. You don't really know how strong your faith is until faith has to stand under pressure. You don't really know how much patience you have until patience has to wait. You don't really know how much peace you have until life gives you a reason to panic. You don't really know how much joy you have until something around you tries to steal your joy. I wish I had somebody up in here who will join Pastor Garner in saying, devil, you can't have my joy. Amen. Shoot me with your best shot, but you cannot have my joy. Is there anybody in here that can join with Sister Sharon Brown and say, after all that I've been through, I still have joy? The joy of the Lord is my strength. In him I live, in him I move, in him I have my being. Give him praise in this place. Because y'all, anybody can speak faith when everything is favorable. Anybody can say God is good when the bills are paid, the body is well, the children are acting right, the money is flowing, and everybody in your circle is clapping for you. But maturity is revealed when life presses on you and you still hold on to God. Maturity is revealed when you're disappointed but not destroyed. When you're wounded but not wicked. When you're delayed but not defeated. Maturity is revealed when you have questions but you don't quit trusting God. That's why James says, let patience have its perfect work. The word let me hear everybody say let. The fact that he uses the word let suggests that patience has to be permitted. It means there's something God wants to work in us, but we've got to, amen, stop fighting the process.